This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دكتور طاهر تفضل.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. Before getting into the tafsir of the ayah or the tadabbur, the pondering over the meaning of the ayah, reflecting over the ayah that I'm going to talk about tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who observe Laylatul Qadr with true iman, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward. And it is very important for us as, that we really contemplate the deep meaning of Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. And I'm only taking this opportunity since this is the first of the last 10 nights with Allah ta'ala. But let us just think about it. For most of us in the United States, the night is approximately 8 hours and some change. So literally we're talking about, in most places, and just bear with me here, 500 minutes, okay? 500 minutes equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of reward to 1,000 months. And I think that sometimes we have to really break it down for us to value the time. So that means that every minute of these nights, if the night happens to be Laylatul Qadr, that the reward for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each one of those minutes is like 2 months. I mean, are we really internalizing the fact that we should not be wasting minutes? A second is like a day in that case. And so it's very important that, we don't let this time go by. The difficulties that we may face, the pressure that we put on ourselves to perform in these 10 days, we won't regret that later. It's similar to how people go on Hajj and they just they go all out. After a day or two, they recover, alhamdulillah, and then they forget about the effort that was spent. But Allah Azza wa Jalla la yudi'u ajran muhsinin. Allah doesn't cause the reward of those who do good to be lost. And so it's very important that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in worshiping Him in these last 10 nights. And part of that worship is tadabbur al-Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla, says in the Quran, فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder over the Quran? So this is one of the greatest forms of ibadah, in fact, is that we read the Quran and that we ponder over it. And that is one of the reasons why I think that this way of approaching the tafsir of the Quran, or reflecting over the meanings of the Quran, the way that it's being done with the Quran 30 for 30, this is something, inshallah, that should be a staple, moving forward, making the Quran and its knowledge accessible to people, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And so I wanted to start off with that before getting into the reflection. Inshallah, it's interesting that everybody kind of focused on Surat Ar-Rum, even though this juz covers the last part of Ankabut, it covers all of Surat Rum, it covers all of Surat Luqman, all of Surat As-Sajda, and the beginning part of Al-Ahzab. And there is a common theme, that brings this this juz together. This juz is rich, subhanAllah, with so many points that I was confused about what to offer a reflection on, until I came across a statement of a Sheikh Shinqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Adwa al-Bayan, speaking about the ayah, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Right. So in this ayah, which is the seventh ayah in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they know some zahir, some external aspect, really a superficial aspect of the dunya. Right. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But when it comes to the hereafter, they are in utter, negligence. They're heedless when it comes to the hereafter. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla here is clearly referring to those who have rejected faith. However, there are many Muslims who may, to some degree or another, embody some of this characteristic of those who reject faith. And so it's very important that we're aware of this quality so that we avoid it. And inshallah, we'll be able to see how it ties into other ayat. But let me go to the statement that Shinqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said about this ayat. He said, يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ أَنْ يَتَدَبَّرَ آيَةَ الرُّومِ هَذِهِ تَدَبُّرًا كَثِيرًا. He said, it is wajib, it is an obligation for every Muslim of this time. And he wrote this book approximately 50 years ago, right? So he said it's an obligation for every Muslim of this time, meaning his time, but now we even see in this time as well, our particular, you know, contemporary times. He says it's an obligation for every Muslim to ponder over this ayah a lot. Give it a lot of thought. And then he says, وَيُبَيِّنُ مَا دَلَّتْ عليه لكل من استطاع بيانه له للناس. And it's also an obligation for us to convey, you know, what we come up with upon pondering this ayah to the people in general. And that is, as he goes on to explain, that this ayah makes it clear that this world has a zahir and it has a batin. Okay? So it has an external shell, if you will. It has an outward aspect, and then it has a reality, okay? So when he talks about the inner aspects, he's talking about the reality of this life. The outer aspect of this life is that people have to find a way to live and survive and shelter and food and clothing and, you know, the things that they need. In fact, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was talking about this ayah, he said, they have gotten to the point, some of them, he's talking about their infatuation with dunya and its glitter and its external matters. He said that one of them could put a dirham on his finger and flip it around and tell you how much it weighs. وَلَا يُحْسِنُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ شَيْئًا. And he doesn't know how to pray properly, right? So, you know, you get to this level where it's, you know so much about the dunya, but not anything that is preparing you for the next life. And that is, as Shinqiti rahimahullah ta'ala says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, he says that this is the actual, what the dunya really is, to understand that it is a pathway towards the hereafter. Okay? And so that this dunya is about working in it. It's about planting for the hereafter. It is about doing the acts of obedience that will draw you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who know a lot about the dunya, but they don't know anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't know anything about who he is, what he has commanded us to do, what he has prohibited us from, what draws us closer to him so that we can do those things, what pushes us further away from him so that we can avoid those things, right? If we know all of these details about the material sciences and engineering and technology and so forth, but we're not conscious of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what our real purpose in this life is, then we're taking a portion of that, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, and they are heedless about the hereafter. So it's very important that, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say, In a famous dua, the dua that Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rarely stand up from a gathering with his companions, except that he would make this dua, Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatik ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik, to the end of the dua. But the part that I want to get to is where he says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. Do not make our musibah, our calamity, our affliction, O Allah, don't make that in our deen. In other words, life is going to have its tests. We're going to be tried. We're going to be tried with the loss of wealth. We're going to be tried with the loss of health. We may be tried with loss of loved ones and so forth. People are going, everybody, this life is a trial. We're going to be tried in different ways. But don't make my musiba in the deen. Don't cause me to reject faith or to doubt my faith or to love what you hate, Ya Rabbana, or to hate what you love. So don't make my musibah in my deen. And then he goes on to say, وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبَلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. And do not make this dunya the أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا, the greatest of our concerns. and not the extent of our knowledge, right? Okay. So the idea is, it is okay to know from the dunya. In fact, the Muslims, alhamdulillah, have contributed much to civilization as we know it today, right? But they were not people whose knowledge stopped at the dunya. And in fact, it is upon us to learn from the sciences of the dunya that which will aid us in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshiping him better. And so this is not a call to leave off the knowledge of the material sciences or anything like that, but it's a call to balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us. And if you skip 10 ayahs, so that's the seventh ayah in Surah Rum. If you go to the 17th ayah, and you'll see the succession. I really hope you go back and read this. He says, فَسُبْحَانَ hina tumsuna wa hina tusbihun. So to get rid of the ghafla, the heedlessness, the negligence, glorify your Lord in the morning and in the evening. So this is a call to both the Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Maghrib, as well as a call to the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, those du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would specifically make in the morning and in the evening. And I hate to make a yaqeen plug, but alhamdulillah, we do have a great du'a book that was published right before Ramadan, or maybe it was the day that Ramadan started, if I'm not mistaken, that will help people go through the ad'iyah, or the du'as of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the prayers that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make, some of them that he would make in the morning and the evening. I know that my time is up, subhanAllah. And
that's it, go ahead, tell them every second.
it's going on very long. I'm going to have to, I just want to tie this into some of the other surahs so that people can go back. So if you go back to the 64th ayah of Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ, that this life, the life of this dunya is nothing but distraction and play. This is what it boils down to. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, but the next life, the hereafter, is real life. This is the real life, if they only but knew. If you look towards the end of Surah Luqman, you will also see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to fear the day that a parent will not avail his child, a child will not avail his parent, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, so prepare for the hereafter. As Surah Sajda, you can see many ayahs. And I'll end with this point, inshallah, and I had to skip over a lot, subhanAllah. Because when we talk about the hereafter, we're talking about one of the major objectives of the revelation, right? I mean, we're talking about one of the three major creedal objectives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing the Quran. Belief in him subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshiping him alone, the belief in the prophets, and belief in the hereafter. I mean, these are the three main categories of creed that are found in the Quran. I want to end with the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, which is right there at the conclusion of the juz, right? It's ajib jiddan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kulli azwajika in kuntunna turidana al-hayat al-dunya wa zinataha fata'alay. He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your wives, if you want the life of this dunya and you want its glitter and you want its embellishments, then come. You want the luxury of this life, then come. I'll give you a suitable compensation and I'll let you go graciously. In other words, subhanAllah, to give it some context, I mean, the Muslims were going through some difficult times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not live like royalty. Some of his wives were coming from very prosperous households, like Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was a wealthy person. In any event, the point is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let his wives know at that particular time. He had, and the Prophet alayhi salam was married to four women at that time, right? He was married to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hafsa, Sauda, and Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. So he gave them, he was instructed to give them this choice. If you want the dunya, then I can let you go. I'm not going to hold that against you. And you'll be compensated by me as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed every person who goes through a divorce, every man is supposed to compensate his wife with something according to his means. He says, but if you want, but if it is Allah Azza wa Jal that you want, it is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the hereafter. Listen to that. If you want the hereafter, if you want that final abode in the hereafter, and you want to live well in the next life, if you want Jannah in the next life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the good doers from amongst you all a great reward. Now, look, I just want to very, and I'll end up here, I promise. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took, as he was instructed by Allah, when he went to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with this ultimatum, this choice, he said, I'm going to say something to you. He didn't recite to her the ayah right away. He said, I'm going to say something to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me with, and I don't need you to answer right away. Go back to your parents and consult them, and then we can come and then come back to discuss it with me. This is how it comes in the riwayah of Sahih al-Bukhari. And so Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, okay, what is it? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the ayah to her, and he said, look, if you want this life, then I'll let you go. And if you want the next life, you want Allah and his messenger, then, you know, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you a great reward. She said, what is there to talk to my parents about? I'm choosing Allah. I'm choosing you in the hereafter. Subhanallah. I will say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. All of us, every single Muslim, will be given an ultimatum in this life. We'll be given that choice. And some of us more than others, and some of us more frequently than others, we'll be given the choice. We'll be tested. Do we want Allah and we want the hereafter? Or do we really want this dunya? Are we going to compromise our faith? Are we going to compromise our values because we want to get something out of this dunya? We'll be given that choice. And we need to make the choice that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha made. She is our mother, radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is the scholar of this ummah, subhanallah. And she made the choice for Allah and the Dar al-Akhirah. This is the choice that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us all to make. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put our calamity and our affliction in our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make this dunya the extent of our knowledge and not the greatest of our concerns. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
I mean, Zakallah khair, Sheikh. I don't think anyone's mad at you going a few minutes over, Sheikh. Zakallah khair. Just a quick question. The dua that you mentioned, is it in the book, inshallah?
It is. Yeah. It's actually, I believe it's the last dua in the book. So just so that we're clear, the way that the book is set up, it starts off with the du'as of the sabah and the masat, yani the du'as, the prayers that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make in the morning and the evening. It's followed by prayers that deal with specific occasions. And then it finishes up with some comprehensive prayers. And I believe that this is the last one in the book.
So we'll post it in the comments again, inshallah, just so everyone can go back and download it. And you can, of course, go to the website, yaqeenistu.org, and find it there. And